qui seminat in lacrimis in exultatione mettent. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, how come that right in the middle of Lent, time of sorrow, of contrition, of reparation, Mother Church invites us to all of a sudden rejoice and exult? A divine paradox, as always, seems to be at the very source of the celebration of Laetare Sunday. As on the one hand, we have been asked for almost 4 weeks now, 3 weeks and a half, to practice corporal and spiritual works of mercy. We've been encouraged to practice mortifications and to offer up sacrifices and penances in order thereby to make up for our sins, to atone and make reparation, but also to uproot any attachments to self so as to belong more entirely to God, depriving oneself from legitimate pleasures creation offers us in order to be more and more conscious of the end for which we have been created, heaven, and to understand the profound value of our pilgrimage on earth. And so we strip ourselves of the garments of a frail human nature and rid ourselves of the sins that anchor us down to ephemeral pleasures, as Christ also was stripped of his garments. All this with the sole intention of growing in our desire for that place of eternal beatitude which has been prepared for us from all eternity, heaven. And St. Paul will exclaim, "The sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the future glory that shall be revealed in us." And again he says, "This is our temporal and light tribulation. Does in inconceivable manner work for us an eternal weight of glory." But now, on the other hand, the tone of today's introit and Mass, and you have noticed we have put flowers back on the altar, the organ is allowed to play during Mass, which is different from all the other Sundays of Lent. So the tone of today's Mass is completely different from the rest of the sacred text heard to this point. "Rejoice, O Jerusalem. I rejoice because they said to me, 'We will go up to the house of the Lord.'" Again, reference is made here to the house of the Lord, to our wandering in the world, which final destination is no other than heaven. And only for that very reason can man find much joy and comfort despite this valley of tears. Qui seminat in lacrimis in exultatione mettent. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. And this verse of Psalm 125 has been a powerful motto during my early years of seminary, and I still vividly remember the day and the place when at 19 I first shared with my spiritual director, which I have had since I was 15 and still have today, thanks be to God, when I first shared with him my desire to enter seminary, shedding heavy tears at the thought of one's unworthiness in receiving the most beautiful and yet the most frightening and most sacrificial vocation of all. And I'm sure you can all refer to these same tears in the different vocations you have received. And so this verse, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy," should be a leitmotif, an encouragement to the practice of the virtue of patience during this holy season. A virtue which I think is often misunderstood or underestimated, as we tend to consider patience simply as the forbearance of inconveniences, difficulties that life brings or some form of moderation, particularly in our relation to our neighbor, trying to stay cool when angry, for instance, which reduces, of course, the definition of patience. It seems to limit the extent of this virtue and the impact it should have on our in our lives. So as always, let's consider first the etymology of the word patience, as this will allow us to penetrate more deeply into its meaning. Patience comes from the Latin word patior, the verb, reflexive word, which means to suffer, to endure, to tolerate. And paciencia, of course, suffering or pain, as in the English word, a patient, as one who is suffering from a disease, an illness, awaits the remedy of his doctor. In terms of Salesian spirituality at the school of St. Francis de Sales, patience will often refer to, or at least be coupled with, holy abandonment, holy indifference. Hence, patience and acceptation or resignation become two interchangeable attitudes or virtues. Not in the form of some kind of fatalism, like some would accuse St. Francis de Sales of, but a spirituality grounded in solid realism and confidence in God. And St. Francis gives the following explanation about holy indifference. It is not enough to will that God wills. We must also desire that all should be exactly, even in the minutest detail and particular, as God wills it to be. It is not enough to will what God wills, but we must also desire that all should be exactly as God wills it to be. And he concludes after giving the example of the acceptation of one's diseases or illness, we must in all things take for our law the most holy will of God. Because nothing, whether good or evil, it's important, whether good or evil except sin, nothing happens to us but by the will of God. Oh, what a happiness it would be for our souls, he says, if we accustom ourselves to receive all things from the fatherly hand of him, who in opening it fills all things living with blessing. What unction should we not draw from this in our adversities? What honey from the rock? What oil from the stones, in reference to Deuteronomy 32? And with how much moderation should we not behave in prosperity, since God sends us both the one and the other, that we may use both to the praise and glory of his grace? So if patience is not sustained by holy indifference, then sooner or later a time will come when holding on to our passions in face of adversity, with the sole strength of our human nature, all this will become soon unbearable, and we shall fall back soon into its opposite vices: resentment, impatience, anger, frustration, to the detriment of the essential condition for spiritual life, peace. Much joy, then, can be drawn from the practice of holy indifference or holy abandonment and patience, as with this attitude, the soul sees all things as being willed by God, as being placed in our lives for our sanctification, for our own edification. And you'll see how this applies very well to this Lenten season. Let's take the example of our, I'm sure, good and edifying Lenten resolutions. The Doctor of the Love of God affirms that it is certainly meritorious to impose on oneself voluntary afflictions. But, he continues and says, that it is even more advantageous and beneficial for us to receive afflictions with patience, with calm, with meekness, considering that it is truly the divine will which sends them to us. And so, yes, we might find much self-satisfaction at the sight of our little successes in performing those carefully hand-picked Lenten penances, but we quickly become frustrated, agitated, irritated when another form of affliction or mortification is now imposed on us by the normal circumstances of our daily life, forgetting that those are also certainly part of the divine plan, the divine will. Young apprentices in the art of loving God, says Saint Francis de Sales to Jean de Chantal. These young apprentices gird themselves. They undertake mortifications as they please and choose their penances, and finally follow their own will rather than the will of God. But old masters in the art of trades let themselves be tied up and girded by others. And so mortifications or great sacrifices, which are the result of our own choice, tend usually to blunt suffering and pain, as we see when we can easily endure great pain to satisfy our pleasures. Think of the hunter during hunting season, who doesn't care much about the cold of the winter or about rising very early in the morning to go hunting. Or think of the athletes who undergoes extreme physical pains and suffering to reach his goal. Think of our dear bride who endures the discomfort of our dress, makeup, and other fancies. But how much more painful and crucifying, and therefore meritorious, are the many small opportunities offered to us every single day, which we didn't pick for sure and didn't even foresee, to practice patience, humility, charity, kindness, purity, etc., etc. And yet, it is in those innumerable mortifications that a true disciple of St. Francis de Sales will find joy. Joy and peace, because assured that they all participate in the benevolent will of God. Benevolent, benevolare, to will the good of his creation. So here, no inertia, no form of passivity in just accepting all things with a passive mindset or attitude. No, doing God's will, God's good pleasure, is to never cease to will. To will and to desire as God himself wills and desires for us. And so it is truly a demanding, a heroic form of spirituality, which requires a constant form of patience, of holy abandonment, as well, of course, as a tireless form of generosity and courage. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. And joy is the fruit of a stable, lasting peace in our soul, when all things are the proper place, where all things are where they should be. That brings peace. Think of a clean, neat room. And that peace, lasting peace, its enjoyment is joy. Therefore, for one who desires to discern God's will in all things and wills to follow it, it will become for him a great source of peace and joy, as all things will naturally be in perfect, or at least in good conformity with the will of God. And so to whatever God wills in our life corresponds, of course, whatever is best for us. and the only source then of happiness and peace. Happiness which will find its perfection when we shall all be reunited in heaven with the court of angels and valiant saints forever and ever. Amen. Rejoice, O Jerusalem, and come together. Rejoice with joy, you who have been in sorrow, for they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.